welcome back to the Journey Promises podcast. I'm Amber Lithgow and I'm your host, and I am so excited that this week I'm joined by my amazing friend Dominique. Every time me and Dominique hang out, it is just such a heart on fire, passion for the Lord moment, and she just sends me out ready to just like share the gospel with everyone. She has such a passion for the Lord, such a passion for sharing his goodness, for what he's done in her life with everyone around her, and that light just shines out through this whole conversation this week. So I am so excited for you guys to join us. We talk all about just how when she first met the Lord, the experiences that she went through, the excitement, the highs, the lows, and everything between. We talk about reading the Bible for the first time. We talk about experiencing real worship for the first time, as well as kind of just what it's like to live life with Jesus. I'm so excited for you guys to hear the conversation. So let's jump right in. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I cannot wait. I know you have so much good stuff for us. I always love talking to you. You always have the most like encouraging and inspirational, but also just like the most raw and true stories and testimony, and just you're always your purest and authentic self. So I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. And why don't you tell everyone a little bit about who you are before we jump in?
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Dominique. Everybody calls me Dom for short. If you ever seen Fast and Furious, Dominic Dom, that's what they call him. That's kind of like what I tell people if they don't. But yeah, my name is Dominique. I am a junior/senior at Liberty University online studying social work. And I have known Amber for about how many? I met you in 2018.
Yeah, so going on 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
That's wild.
That's weird, and I feel old now, but because I met you when I was, what, like 21, 22?
Were you? My gosh, yes, I was 21. I was thinking I was like 18. I was like, wait, are you older than me? Okay, that was funny. Okay. Anyways, yes, 2018, that was 4 years ago, and I'm 24 now, going on 25. So,
oh my gosh, that's so cool.
That's wild. That went by so fast.
It did. It really did. I miss it a lot, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's a little bit about me. I love Jesus, of course. I wouldn't have been here. Telling you guys my story. And I just love sharing my opportunity or my testimony to others because, like, you know, like the word says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I've been transformed by many of other testimonies. And so I just pray and hope that my little story will touch someone else. So yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So that's actually wild. I actually did like a study on that verse the other day, and I've heard it, but I had never read it like in Revelation before. And I read it the other day and I was like, I love that. That is so true. Like our testimony holds so much power, and it is the glory of God. It is what he's done in our life. And multiple times we're called to remember the goodness of God and remember what he's done. And so that's why we're here. We're just here to talk about his goodness and talk about his faithfulness in your life. And I am so excited. So let's just dive right in. Yeah. So kick us off. Where are we starting?
We can start because I go a lot of different places, but we can start college, like when I was saved. But I can give you a little backstory. So, of course, you know, my name is Dominique, but I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. I come from like a family-oriented church. So like my papa was the bishop, my granny was the first lady. My mom was with my dad. She used to be like a singer. My dad was like over all the music in the church. And so before I knew it, and what my mom tells me, because, you know, I was like a baby, I didn't know. But she was like, from like, she had me like 3 days later, I was in a pew. So I was born in the church, was at church almost every day of the week. And I loved every bit of it growing up. But also, I knew about God. I knew about Jesus. I knew things of the word, you know, like the word says you train up a child in the way to go, so when they grow up, they won't depart from it. And I truly believe that was the testimony of my life and a praying grandma that will pray for me and the rest of my cousins until we knew the Lord. And so thank you, Granny. If you ever see this, I love you, girl. I call them girls. It's real weird, but it's okay. yeah, so that happened. I dealt with physical abuse as a child from the ages of 3 to 5. Don't really remember a lot of things because of trauma and all the things that happened with that, but I've heard things that I'm like, whoa, that was me. I don't remember that. But definitely believe, I know the word, it's just I don't know where it's at. But this is in the Bible. It's like, what's the scripture? Like the enemy is going around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And like what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it for his good. And I truly believe as a child, the enemy was trying to mess with my self-esteem, dealt with a lot of rejection growing up and a lot of addictions and all of that stuff. We can talk about that later if you want to, but don't want to go into too deep of it, but dealt with lust, and you can go with that wherever you want to go with that. But it took me a while. And then what everything changed for me was when I went to college. I was a freshman at Pearl River Community College. Hello, don't know the mascot.
I think it's like a
wildcat.
Yeah, I was like, I remember, I know the paw.
Why did I not think of that? It's like one of those, but it's okay. Hashtag no spirit. I can't. I'm just there, graduate, and then I'm gone. But remember being a freshman at Pearl River Community College, and I won't mention the person's name because I don't know how they feel if I tell them, but I met a girl there. She knows who she is. And we met and we got really close. And there was one day she had been going through stuff. I had been going through stuff. And I always hung out in her dorm because I hated being in my dorm. And I hate being by myself. I was very codependent back then. But I remember going to her dorm, and I may cry on most of these things. Don't know why overwhelming emotions are coming up, but we're going to go.
It's okay.
But I remember going to her dorm and seeing her watch like a sermon. So I'm like, okay, I grew up in church, even though I'm like, we far away from that. But I'm like, okay, I know this, a sermon. I didn't watch a sermon. So I sat in there and I watched a sermon with her, and I'll never forget it. It's a man named Nathan Morris. He's like a crusader or evangelist. And he was doing a sermon. I don't remember nothing. 90% of that sermon. But the only part that I remembered is him saying, if you were to die today, where would you go? And he was like, I have a countdown in the back. And he was like, when it goes off, I don't want any music or anything like that. I just want you to think about that. And so this countdown starts going, and it was only like 10 seconds, I believe. And I remember it felt like those 10 seconds was eternity. Mm-hmm. And for one split second, I was like, wait, like, literally the fear of God came over me, and I was like, I know exactly where I will go, and it will be hell. And I was terrified of that. And I was just like, Oh no.
Wow.
And I remember my friend gave her life to Christ that night. And I was still like, you know, maybe it was just in my head, you know, like, I don't think I'm ready yet, God. And God was like, okay. And not even, I think it was like 2-3 weeks later, I went to this old white Pentecostal church. And I remember like just the interview, and it was like the altar call. I was like, I'm not going up there. God, you're not finna punk me. And I kid not you
today.
Not, I was like, I don't know how I got up there. I really don't. I was like, I don't know if somebody grabbed me.
I don't know. Up and set you down.
Just said hello. But all I know is I was up there and I gave my life to Christ. And it was kind of crazy of everything that God did in that little span of time. But also my friend left a little bit after. She was like, I feel like the Lord is leading me back. And I was like, oh, okay, that's perfectly fine. I'm good. I'm glad for you. And so I remember her going off and she's doing that. And then she left. And when that car turned that corner, I remember everything felt like it was gone. I was like, what? And I remember going to my room, going into the bathroom, calling my mom. And I didn't know what it was at first, but I was having a panic attack. And I was having a full down breakdown. I was like, what am I gonna do? Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. She was my only friend. Who am I gonna talk to now? Like, I just got saved. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, am I supposed to bring my Bible now? Like, I don't know the Bible. Like, where do I start? What do I do? And I was so confused. And for like 3 days, all I did was go to campus, go to lunch, of course, or whatever. And then I remember, we love food over here.
Yes.
Okay. And then going to my room and just laying down. But I remember always having TBN on. And I remember one night she was telling me, I just remembered, it was just like the Holy Spirit had brought it back up. Like, she was saying that you should go to this Bible study on campus. There's this group of kids called the BSU. For people who don't know, it's the Baptist Student Union, or wherever else. I found out there's different terminologies for it depending on the state you're living in. But mine was the Baptist Student Union. And I remember her telling me that it was on a Tuesday night, and it was at 6 or 7 o'clock. And I remember listening to this woman's testimony and being so like we're talking now, I was just so like, whoa, like God is good. And I remember her saying that to me in my head. And then I looked at my phone, it was probably like 5 minutes till. And I was like, okay. And so I remember myself getting on my knees and praying. I'm not kidding. This is a true story, people. I remember getting on my knees and praying and literally telling God, if you do not speak to me today, I'm done. Like, done with Christianity. I was bold. Huh, okay.
No, girl, I feel you.
I remember getting up, walking to this place and opening the door, and all these people like, hey, how are you? Like, people like me, I hated people like me. I was like, what is wrong with them? Like, they were so joyful, so happy. And I was like, people, Christians aren't this happy. Like, I never seen Christians like that growing up. Like, I saw types, like people, you know, walking with the Lord, but I saw a different side of them at home. And so I was like, what's wrong with them? Like, what do you mean? You're this happy about Jesus? What? And so I remember being so confused. I was like, why are they like so joyful? And a little bit of part of me was probably envious that I wanted that. And I remember the Bible study going on or whatever. And I was like, God, this What is this? I don't feel nothing. And I remember the guy that was leading it was like, does anybody have a question? And I was like, And then I felt like that thought came in my mind, the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what it was at that time. And I was like, oh, I have a question. And you know, Christians, like when you see a new believer or a person who is trying to get to know the Lord, you get so excited when they ask you questions. And so I remember them being so excited that I was like, yes, absolutely. What is your question? And I remember asking, and probably many of people who would listen to this probably will feel the same way that I felt. And I was like, how do you know that God is real? Like a lot of questions of like the nature and the personhood of God. And I remember, she's literally my best friend. I can name her because she knows the story. Her name is Amanda. Hello, girl. We're literally still best friends to this day. I never knew her, didn't know her name, didn't know who she was. But I remember her, she was quiet. She had never spoken in this Bible study before. She just turned to me and like, I don't remember the words that came out of her mouth, but I know all the words that came out of her mouth were the exact words that I was talking to God about in that bed for 3 days and she just spoke to everything. And I was like, one, terrified, because I'm like, who talked to you? I don't know you. Did the Lord talk to you? You know? And at that moment, it was like a light bulb. I was like, nobody can tell me that God isn't real. Because one, how would she know that? I don't know this girl from Adam, you know? And it was just, it was like this weight was lifted off of me. And I'm like, wow, God really does see me. He really does hear me. And I gave God an ultimatum. He didn't have to answer it.
Yeah.
And just like I'm going to be talking about today, is just the faithfulness of God. Like God was faithful to me, even when I was like, I'm going to be done. If you don't do this, I'm out of here. And God was like, okay, bet. And he was like, here you go. Yeah. I see you, hear you, and I love you. How about that? And I was just like, okay, thank you, Lord. But that is the faithfulness that I've seen coming to God. And I also would like to talk to people also, like when I came to God, I don't know everybody else's story. My story, it was hard out here. Like, I don't think I picked up my Bible, physical Bible, to maybe 6 months into me being. All I knew was going to church and Bible study. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up my word until like maybe 6 months after. So like I was going through it because I didn't know. I didn't have somebody telling me, hey, read your word.
And there's no handbook for us out there. So we're just kind of like, what's next?
So I was really just living off of Sunday service and Wednesday night Bible study. Like that was it. All I had. And then God was like, all right, let's go a little deeper. Let's like pick up a Bible. And my best friend at the time, she bought me my first Bible. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, that's so nice. You know, like I was like, somebody must really love you to give you a Bible. Like that's the most precious gift that anybody could ever give someone. And so I remember starting to read the Bible then. But yeah, that's like my story of salvation for sure.
I love that. And actually I relate to giving God an ultimatum because when I got saved, I was actually on a mission trip and I wasn't saved, should not have been there by any means. But I went and I told God on the plane on the way over there, I said, God, you have 1 week, either show up or like my questions are answered of like, I don't know if I can believe in you. And when I say he showed up, I think I cried for a week straight, like the whole time I was there. It was just like, he showed up so faithfully. And that is just the ultimate testimony of who he is, of like in our absolute brokenness, in our absolute despair and need and hopelessness and doubt, he shows up in full force. And he's like, you are my child and I am here for you and I will do what you need to show you that I am the Lord your God. And I always like think back on like Israel and how many times they were like, God, we need proof, or God, we don't know, or why don't we just go back to Egypt? At least we were safe there. And God was just, though he did get mad at them many times in the Old Testament, he was always faithful to provide what they needed and what they asked for sometimes, if it was within his will. And at the end of the day, like, salvation is always in God's will, and he will do, like, it's just so cool to think he will pursue us to the ends of the earth. And then when we're like, all right, God, you have 60 seconds. He's like, bet.
Yeah.
Let's go. And that's just so cool. So I feel you on the ultimatum and just knowing God's faithfulness and how sweet he is, and even meeting us in the ultimatum moments. So that's so cool. I think like going forward, just thinking of your testimony and how you experienced such like strong feelings of God's faithfulness so early on in your walk with him, like, how did that form you as you moved forward in your walk with God?
I think it formed me because I knew he was real. I knew he had my back. And it was just like one thing, like literally my first year serving the Lord, he blew my mind. Like, I was like, I'm too geeked out. Like, I remember, like, it was just so cool. And I'm just like, wow. But even just right now, I'm like, wow, he's so good. But I think it was just so many different things. Like, I remember I knew I needed to be in church. I knew I needed to serve the Lord. And I remember there was this event and on campus. It was like the most biggest like Christian event in Poppleville, Mississippi. Poppleville is really small, but that's okay. Yes. But it was the biggest event that they had, and it was on a college campus for all, you know. And I remember going there, and again, God has always surrounded me with stories of his faithfulness. And I remember a girl was up there talking about her testimony. I think I can answer her too. I can say her name. Her name is Jordan. I remember hearing her testimony. It was about addiction, and being like, how is she alive? Like, those kind of stories. And I remember hearing another lady, I can say her name too. Her name is Lauren. I'm like, and hers was another one about addiction. I was like, how are you alive? And then hearing another girl, I can say her name too. Her name is Hannah. And I remember she was like speaking, and I was like, she was like my age or around my age, a college student, talking about the Lord, like talking about his word to a group of people. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have never in my life seen anything like this. And I didn't know at the time that was her first time speaking in like in a public place. And I remember being like, what? Like, she looked like a natural. And I remember specifically, I remember meeting, hearing this man preach. And I remember he was just crying all the time about Jesus. And I was like, what is wrong? Like, again, I didn't know, like, people get emotional about Jesus. And I was like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, what is it? Like, still, I don't think I really grasped the love of God. Mm. And I see that now, but that's another story. But I remember seeing this man and seeing his heart for the Lord and being like, man, God, I wish that'd be my pastor. And then God connected me with Jordan. And we became friends, and she was like, I want to invite you to my church. And I was like, okay. I go to church. Not only was Jordan there, Lauren was there. And guess who the pastor is of this church? The man I was like, God, I wish that'd be my pastor of this church. And I'm like, whoa. Like, what is this? And I remember those my 2 years of being at the community college, that was my church, and that was my church home. And Lauren became my mentor and really showed me what it looked like to be a woman and a woman of God, and helped me when I was struggling, when I was down. She would come, she would talk to me. And I was like, she was like one of those people, you know, like the Christine Canes and all that kind of stuff. She's not known, but she's known in the heart of God. And the way that she talked about him, the way she just moved, like she was just, the Holy Spirit was just with her all the time. And I was just like, how do I get to that, God? And so I think just knowing, how did I walk through that? It's just that God was just so good with bringing people into my life to grow me in him, and also showing me examples of his love. And not only did he love me enough to save me, but he loved them just as much.
Oh, that's so good. So going back, so we're in college, you just got saved. After that, you said it took you about 6 months before you really like picked up the Bible. What did God do in between that time, even just like of growing you to the point where you were like, all right, I want more?
I think it was during those times of like going to that church, like I was saying, being with those people. And also, I just think in my alone time, I wanted to get to know him. Like, I was just like, what? This is amazing. Like, I want to get to know the Lord. And I remember, because spiritual warfare is really real. And I remember, I think it was like the first 6 months, I had sleep paralysis. Or not sleep, yeah, sleep paralysis. And I remember waking up, my roommate was gone. And I remember I knew it was demonic. I couldn't name it. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just felt complete fear. Like I couldn't move my body. I couldn't do anything. And I just felt like this evil presence was like surrounding me, and I couldn't get out of it. And I just remember thinking in my mind, like, if I can just, cause it was completely dark in my room, and I was just remembering, if I can get to the light, I'll be okay. If I can get to the light, I can be okay. And not knowing that that light symboled Jesus for me. And I remember when I started to, cause I don't even think I was listening to worship music at the time. Like, literally, it was really, sanctification is not just like a one and done thing.
Nope, it is a process.
It's a process. And we're still in the process. Thank God. Because I don't know.
Patient. We love growth.
Yes, I remember finding a worship band. And it was so bizarre. I wasn't looking for it. Again, God's faithfulness. I remember finding this video of Elevation Worship. That's when Elevation was becoming like a big thing. It was around 2016, 2017. And it was just them sitting all around this living room thing. It was like, was it like Spirit of God Fall First on Me?
Yeah.
That, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I remember them, and it was acoustic version, and all of them were like sitting around like young people just worshiping God. And I was like, who are these people? You know, like, what? Like, people just do that? Like, people sit around and worship Jesus in a living room, like, with guitars and stuff? Like, what is this? And so I remember seeing that and then just getting into more worship music. Like, worship music has become my staple. Like, how I just go all in for the Lord. And I think that is where worship music is what led me to the actual presence of God, which led me to wanting to get to know him and his word. It was through worship. There was a long way to get to that, but worship was what led me to the word.
Yeah, I love that. Worship is a big part of my life too. It calms me. It, like, anything that I need, worship music is like always there. And yeah, I went through a time in my life where I'd kind of like listen to it, and then I'd come away from it, and I'd listen to it, and then I'd come away from it. And it was just recently, in the past, well, probably year and a half or so, where that's like literally all I listen to anymore. And it's just because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, if I'm riding in my car, do all things under the Lord. Like, I want to be worshiping. And yeah, I love a good worship jam car sesh. Like, I feel bad for the people who are driving next to me because they just see me like going off.
Just like,
just jamming, like, probably crying. The number of times that I've been like crying on my way to work because a song just like hit me and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's okay.
Worse when you're actually at work. Just, okay, FYI, people, don't listen to Maverick City, whatever that gets you going, Shane and Shane, whatever gets you going at work. Because the most embarrassing thing to happen to you is that you're in the ball fest. And then you have to walk into work and people thinking, are you okay?
Are you okay? And I'm like, Jesus.
Jesus. It's Jesus.
Oh, I love that. Oh, man. So once you discovered the word of God, how did things change for you from there? Like, take me further into your story.
Oh, let's see. I think like the first like couple of years, I was just wanting to word. So I just remember reading, well, I read mostly the New Testament, but the word was important to me. I was reading it, but I wasn't studying it. Does that make sense? And the most pivotal point to me when it comes to the word is 2018. I went through a really, really tough season of depression, of hurt. I had been hurt by an organization. I don't like to talk about it, but it's real, it's true. And I can't tell my story without telling that. And I remember being very angry and very frustrated and again, ready to walk away and being like, God, do you hear me? Are you with me? Like reopen the Bible and just like, I don't understand any of it. My prayers were tears. I didn't understand anything anymore. And I remember God being so faithful to me in that time. Of course, worship, like I said, but really it was the word. And I remember, and it makes me cry, but I remember looking at the Bible as like as a child, and like how Jesus always talks about how important it is to have that childlike faith. Like it talks about, you know, to have faith as small as it can be, as small as the size of a mustard seed, that can move mountains. Mm. And I remember reading the word and being like, what? Like, I just remember having so many aha moments of just like, this is who you are. And that's like, for me, that was really the first time that I saw God as a loving father. Like at first, I think I always thought of God as this ruler, this dictator, this tyrant that you do all these things to get the love or the approval of God. And if you don't, gonna have consequences. And I remember just being so scared of just ever doing anything wrong. Cause I was like, one, I just didn't want to disappoint God, but I just felt like I was gonna be in trouble. And after I went through that season and just feeling like, God, did I just do something wrong and I'm just being punished? And I just remember God taking, that is where my foundation was set with him. Like nobody more can come to me and tell me who God is and tell me this, tell me that. Cause I was like, no. You know, like I built my foundation on a solid rock, not on the water, not on the shore where it can be tossed. Like I was no longer being tossed to and fro by every wind wave doctrine. Like his word is my doctrine. His word is my denomination. Like that's what that is for me.
Yeah. So, yeah. His word, that it literally is the foundation of everything. Like Jesus is the cornerstone and Jesus is the word. And when we realize that, when we stop, I think one big thing that hit me the same way is when I realized, like, I can't just go to other people to learn what God wants to teach me. And yeah, when you start seeking God for who he is and not just like what everyone else thinks, man, everything does change. That's so cool.
For me in this season, like the Lord was saying, like how you were saying that it's really important to have your own relationship with him, because sometimes no matter what denomination you're in, or set that you're believing in, I feel like there's always this little push to go with what is cool, what feels good, especially in this generation of millennials, of Gen Z. You see a lot of conferences, revivals, like there's almost probably a conference every week or every month, yeah. Probably a revival every other month or every other week, you know? And there's this push to just, I want to be wherever God is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like you have, and then after you have this revival high or this conference high. And then after about a couple of weeks, you feel like, oh, no. And then you're like, well, what do I do now? And then you're running to the next conference to get refilled or, you know, restored. And those are great. I've had great moments with God in those meetings. But instead of like running to all these conferences, like going to this conference or that conference, I really felt like the Lord was saying, have that relationship with me. Like, I just feel like every conference or every revival I was going to, like, I would go so hard for the Lord. And I would just remember in those like quiet times of me being with the Lord, he's like, you know, you can have this with me every day, right? And I was just, and I always be like, yeah, you're right. And then I would go back and I would not do that. And it's definitely, it takes discipline outside the highs, and because feelings fade, feelings are fickle. They go up one day, they're down another. Yeah. One up hour, the next hour is a whole different feeling.
Yes.
And if we just base our walk and our lives based on that one feeling, what happens when that feeling is not there? Like, where is that discipline? What happens with your quiet time? Like, it's only two things that can happen. It can push you closer to the Lord, or you can just keep doing what you're doing and just, you know. And it just takes that discipline, whether it's like, hey, friend, we're both wanting to grow closer to the Lord. Let's keep each other accountable, you know, having that accountability partner, or just setting out a time of the day. I know I'm so bad at it. Like, I'll start it, then I stop it, but we're going to come back. You know, that's why it's always a thing. Like, just setting out a time, setting out a space.
Yeah.
Also important, just being like, okay, my closet in this little corner is me and Jesus time.
This is mine.
And this, I was like, okay, God, I'm gonna sit here. I'm not gonna think about anything else, because life happens and it just goes on.
I love all of that. And it's all so true and so necessary for today's culture. I mean, I feel like the culture today is run, 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 run. You do you, figure it out. Like, just, I mean, we're constantly just being pushed into like 50 million directions. And I mean, right. God just tells us to stop and to just be with him and to be silent. And that's so hard in the culture today, to just sit and to just rest. So I agree with all of that. And just the whole idea of like, yeah, seeking God for his teaching and not just others, and not just living from like Jesus high to Jesus high, but living as Jesus is our life. Like, he's our Savior, Lord, and life. He is in our everyday. He's in our every moment. He isn't just in the revivals, and he's not just at Passion, and he's not just at all the other conferences that we could go to. He's on our bedside table, in the Bible, in the Word. He is in the sunrise. He's in the sunset. He is in the breeze. Like, every moment of every day, he's there. And yeah, I think it's so easy to forget.
It is.
So
that's why we have the faithfulness of God. He always brings it back.
Amen. That's why we have friends that spur us on towards that as well. And that's so good. Yeah. So I know you spent a lot of time in Houston, and I know you have quite a few stories from there and from post Houston. And so bring us to that point in life.
Well, Houston was amazing. Met so many things. It was my leap of 2020. It was, even though a lot of people, it was a crazy year. Let's just not beat around the bush. It was a crazy year. I've lost loved ones during COVID and all that. And many people can say the same things. But 2020 was a great year for me. It was my leap of faith year. Going to Houston, God being faithful, brought people, brought a church, brought a mentor that really pushed me. And when I say pushed me, she did and still does, even though I'm like miles and miles away. And so I post-Houston got COVID this time last year. I had to move back and to Hattiesburg. And so I moved back to Hattiesburg around maybe like the second or third week of December. And I've been here ever since. And it was really, really hard for me. Going from that leap of faith year to coming back to a place where you feel like you've outgrown is really hard. But I didn't know I outgrown. And I remember coming back and I'm like, okay, well, God, while I'm here, because in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to Houston like tomorrow. Like, there's nothing you can tell me. Even if God was saying, no, it's not time yet, I'm like, God, I'm going back to Houston. and I just remember going back to like, my old places, like my community that I was part of, and being, and just having that sense of rejection again, and just feeling like left out. I was just like, I don't understand. And then going back to my church, as much as I love my church and everything, I had this different feeling, and I could not shake it, and I didn't want to feel that way either, so it was just really weird for me. And I was just like, I don't understand. Like, I would tell people, I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I had some people like, this is what happens when you change, this is what growth is. You grew in Houston and you're not the same person that you were a year ago here in community and everything like that. And so I remember being so sad. Like, I would have moments where I was going hard for the Lord and then I would be dead. And I think this has been the longest time that I felt really dead in my relationship with God. Because I was angry. I didn't understand. I was like, I don't understand why you're doing this to me. Like, I felt like I was being punished. I felt like I did something wrong. I was like, did I do something wrong, God? Like, why am I here? Like, you put me out into this place and I saw so many things. I love the people and I love what you were doing for me, and you bring me back. Why? And I remember, I turned 24 this past July, and this was a different birthday for me because I felt sad. I felt so sad, even though I was surrounded by friends. I was sent nice, encouraging letters like this. My love language, words of affirmation. And I just remember after even receiving all that, even though I felt loved for, my earring keeps falling out. This is not this. I remember being like, I'm still sad. And I think that sadness was because I wasn't close to the Lord. And I wanted to be. And I remember also just going through so much with my family and just finances and just so many things. And this past ball just feeling like I'm about to lose my mind. Like, I'm like, God, I'm about to go crazy. Like, I just felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders, that I was taking care of everybody and I wasn't taking care of myself. Nobody asked me to do this, by the way. It's just that I think in all of us, we have this savior complex where we want to be the savior. Mm-hmm. We want to be the person that people rely on. And we hurt ourselves in the meantime because we make ourselves God, and God never called us to do that. Yeah. And I think I was doing a lot of things God didn't call me to do. And because of that, I felt broken. I felt out of place. And I felt like I was definitely playing the victim and being like, why me? God, look at this person, you know, start pointing the finger. Like, God, I know this person that's lived for you. And why are they getting this? Why do they have the house? Why do they have the car? Why do they have the money? And I can barely put, you know, put two quarters together, you know? And I remember this. These ladies like praying over me, and God being so faithful. And she was just like, I just feel like you're like in this intense battle. And I'm like, sis, yes, like, yes, that's what's going on. And she was just like, I just feel like you got to do all these things, and God is telling you to rest. And literally, as this woman is telling me this, I like broke down crying. I was like, wow. And like, she was like, God got you. Like, you've been dealing with fear, you've been dealing with doubt, but like, God just wants you to rest and he wants you to trust him. Mm. And I was like, ooh, here we go again. Because I feel like that is one word that has always been a thing with me and God. It always goes back to trust. And like, of course, like Proverbs 3:5, like trust in the Lord, mm-hmm. with all your heart, lean not to all your understanding, you know, follow God or something like that in all your ways, acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will make the path straight for you, something like that. Yeah. I got this written down. I just don't know where it's at, but I don't know where it's at.
It's okay.
It's fine. Because, you know, I like to give people context or whatever, but I just remember that's when it changed for me. And I was just so, again, just like going back to when I first got saved, and when that aha moment came to me that God hears me, God sees me, and he loves me. Mm. And I remember just bawling my eyes out. Like, I do not cry like normal people cry. Like, I heave. I hate crying. And that's why I'm like holding back tears real hard up here. Cause I'm like, if I start, it's not gonna be cute. I'm a little congested. So it just may sound like terrible. I don't have tissues in hand. So it's just gonna look bad. But I was like heaving, like, like that kind of cry is so bad. And I was like, the lady was holding me for so long because I was literally could not stop heaving crying. But it's just that constant reminder that God sees me, God hears me, and God loves me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. When you look back at your relationship with the Lord before that time of just like, all right, I don't know what's happening, to now, how would you say your relationship with him has changed?
We're still a work in progress on my end. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Absolutely.
God in his faithfulness, he continues to remind me. Like this one lady, I was in a woman's Bible study a couple weeks ago, and I remember this lady said this one thing, and I literally almost broke down just from hearing her say that. She was like, as Christians, we have a really hard time remembering. And I was like, well, I feel like she just came for me, you know. It was like one of those Big Bev moments where she just talked about something and we were just like,
yes. What?
And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, she was talking about, you know, the children of Israel and how they had crossed over another kind of like Jordan River. It wasn't big as the Red Sea, but it was the Jordan River, and how the man, I can't think of anything right now, but they got Joshua, that's his name. Yes. Joshua could have told the people to get like 12 stones and to, you know, basically make like a little statue, or not really a statue, but just like a stack of like 12 stones. And every time somebody saw that, like children of Israel, like the next generation, when they see that, you let them know that what God did before in the Red Sea, he did it again. Yeah. In the Jordan River. And just to remember God's faithfulness, like what he did before, he'll do it again. Like, God is no respecter of persons. It's not like he's just a one and done God. Like, I did that one time. You know, I let him walk on dry land. I really did that. Like, I didn't have to do that again, but he did.
Yeah.
And it's just that thing of, again, that word faithfulness, that God was faithful to bring his people out of suffering, out of turmoil, out of chaos, out of depression, out of oppression. Like, God did it all. And I just think of that as well in my life. It's like, God, like, I really have a really hard time remembering all those things. And it's kind of like this Baptist thing. No offense, but this is like, I don't know if other churches do this, but my little Black church, we say this all the time. Like, what did you say? It's like, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done, I think this is a scripture. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Mm. Just that reminder of just like, that's the goodness of God. That's the faithfulness of God. That one, he saved our souls. Like, he sent his son Jesus, you know, the one who knew no sin, to become sin so that we may be the righteousness of God. And I'm just like, what? Like, yeah. That salvation is so such a big deal. And not only that, but that, you know, also the word says, like the what God started in us, he will carry it to the day of completion. And I'm like, that's faithful. That's a faithful God. Like, yeah. He doesn't have to. He could just be like, I gave you my son. That should be enough, you know? But God doesn't keep us where we are. He doesn't leave us where we're at. He, like, continues that journey and that beautiful journey of sanctification. And I think of the song, what's the song? Remembrance by Hillsong, and like these little words, it's real short, but I just love it. Like what I was talking about earlier, it says like, hallelujah, I live my life in remembrance. Hallelujah, your promise I won't forget. If ever I should lose my way, if ever I deny your grace, remind me of the price you paid. Hallelujah, I live in remembrance. But yeah, that's good.
That is good. I think remembering is something that is so hard for our small human minds for some reason to do. We can remember every song we've ever heard since kindergarten, and we can probably sing every karaoke song. But for some reason, I mean, it's not a mystery why it's hard to remember the goodness of God. It's because the devil doesn't want us to. But it's in remembering his faithfulness in past times that we can push forward in hope that he will do it again. He is God and he has not left us behind. And I love that. That's something I try to live by, of just consistently reminding myself, like sometimes literally sitting myself down and being like, Amber, look at this, like, remember what God has done. That's so good. Is there anything else you would like to share before we do our final closing?
I would just like to encourage anybody that is in the season that I am in, or has God has slowly been bringing me out, or he's brought me out, but my mind just got to catch up to what God has already done. And just want to encourage somebody to know that those three words, God hears you, God loves you, and what else I say? This was a really important moment. Sees you. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. And of course, I can never talk about the Lord's faithfulness without talking about his faithfulness of his son. And I just want to talk to somebody right now. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is just a great opportunity to do that. Like it says in his word, it's through his love and kindness that leads us to repentance. Like God desires that no man may perish, but that everybody may come to like repentance, may come to know him. And I always just think about that famous scripture of John 3:16, but I like to do John 3:16 through like 18. And it was like, I know the KJV version, Bible people, kids, Sunday school, y'all know it. But it's like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever may believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came. What did it say? Jesus, Lord, have mercy. He came to save the world, right? He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And it's just, I remember reading that. I'm like, man, why we don't say 17? That is just so more profound. Like God did not send himself in flesh to condemn you. He came to save you, to save your soul. So it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't even matter what you did 5 minutes ago before watching this. Like, God still sent his son to die for you. And if you feel like this is the time, or if you just feel like, God, you speaking to me. Like, if you having that aha moment that I had in a little old brick building with maybe six people, and a light bulb hit me and said, God is real, then God is speaking to you right now. Like, if you were me at like 18 and was like, God, if you don't speak to me today, I ain't doing this no more. And if you said those things, know that God hears you. He heard exactly what you said. And so I just want to give you that opportunity. There's no prayer that you can pray. It's in your heart. It's you. Of course, you have to confess, like repent from your sins and turn away, not wanting to go back, not having a desire to go back, but to truly believe. I like to tell people, you just have to come to a place where God is the better choice. God is the better answer. It's not drugs and not alcohol. It's not in a man. It's not in a woman. It's not in your pastor. It's not in your manager. It's not in a degree. It's not in anything. It's in Jesus. And you have to come to that decision to believe and know in your heart that Jesus is the better choice. And he has never stirred me wrong. And so I believe, just give Jesus a chance. Just commit to 1 year of being like, I'm gonna go all in. And I promise you, if it's not, I want you to come back to me and say, you were wrong. And you know what? I'll probably be like, I'm real sorry, but I haven't seen one person that decided to live their life for God and live their life for Jesus to say, oh, that was whack. It was like, I completely changed my life and I'm forever changed. Like, God wants us to live free. God wants us to have joy in our hearts. Like, not this joy that's just complete, like goes here or there, but that joy, like how me and you know, is choose joy. Like, what's the scripture? Say all that to say, choose Jesus, choose joy, choose freedom. You won't go wrong.
Amen. And I think on that note, that should be that final note. That was some preaching right there. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. Dom, thank you so much for being my lovely guest. And I will talk to you later.
Yeah, bye.
Well, guys, I really hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Journey Promises podcast. If you're listening via YouTube, be sure to give the thumbs up, subscribe, and comment below what your favorite part of our conversation this week was. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, be sure to subscribe, but also rate, review, and comment so that other people can eventually find Journey Promises and hopefully be encouraged by the same things you were. And be sure to share this with your circle. We want as many people as possible to be able to grow in their faith, to borrow faith, and to eventually learn how to share their faith with others. And never forget Psalm 27:13, to always desire to see the goodness of God in the lives of those around you. I hope you guys have a good week, and we'll see you next week.